Again, for the child that I love. Every child that I love. Bow our heads and close our eyes. We approach him in prayer. We have a couple of prayer requests you won't remember. Brother Harold Skeet requests prayer for total deliverance from a contrary spirit upon him and for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sister Jermaine Simmons requests prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She also requests prayer for the salvation of her husband. Brother Cho requests prayer for his son Mark Solomon for persistent belly pain. Also for his son Joseph for Nicole. Prayer is also requested for Sister Marlene Baxter, who is at home with pains in her body and also general weakness. And if you didn't have the opportunity to send a request, would you come expecting him to do something for you tonight? Just hold it upon your heart as we approach him in prayer. He knows all things. The Bible says he knows what we have need of even before we ask it. Our Heavenly Father, as you bow our hearts with reverence and respect to your great divine presence that we feel here amongst us now, we are thankful that you have come to meet with us this evening, Lord, that from the very beginning of this service, your presence is here being felt in our hearts. It gives us great confidence to know we don't have to go through the course by ourselves, but you said, "Lo, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you and in you even until the end of this age." Lord, we stand here tonight. There are needy ones amongst us. They have come and they have written all the requests. They send me into the church of the living God, might come together and pray the prayer of faith on behalf of them. For they know it is written in your word, "If two shall agree as in touching anything, it shall be done." For whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And then, dear God, there are these also who may not have had the opportunity to write one and send one in. But even now, as they stand here in your presence, they are holding it in their hearts. Maybe for their own selves, maybe for others, loved ones that they are standing on behalf of tonight. But Heavenly Father, we know one thing. Is that when we come, we must come believing that you are and you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Lord, we come with faith tonight. Faith in your unfailing word of promise. As I lay my hands upon this request, and the people hold theirs in their hearts, and we together, Father, as a believing people, believing according to your promise, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, just as it is written, just as it is asked, it is desired in the heart of the people, so let it be done tonight for the glory of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of the people. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you would lead us, Lord God, in the word tonight. You said the Holy Spirit would come to teach us all things, to lead us and guide us into all truth. We can read the scripture, but it takes you to breathe upon it, to quicken it, bring out the divine revelation by which you receive prevailing power, Lord, to overcome every gate that would stand before us. For he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Then how we desire revelation in our hearts tonight. Lord, we have prevailing power to prevail against the gate of hell. For Lord, we know this is the hour that is spoken of, that the enemy shall come like a flood, but the Lord will raise a standard. Hallelujah. Let that standard be risen in every heart tonight, Father. Hallelujah. Let the seed of Abraham possess every gate of the enemy. Bless your people, bless the visitors, bless the strangers. Bless everyone that is gathered within these gates. Even those that would like to be here for some circumstance, some reason, Lord, they could not have been here tonight. Lord, bless them also. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you get honor and glory and all praise from this service. For we ask it in your precious name. Amen. Let's turn to our Bibles tonight. To the book of Genesis. Also Revelation. 2 Corinthians. Three places I would like to read. Genesis chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 11. And Revelation chapter 3. While you look for that, I just want to read his notes of praise. The ordinary Tanya would like to thank the Lord for his wife's safe delivery of a baby boy last week. Also, to thank the Lord for delivering the child from jaundice. Amen. But an arrangement would like to thank the Lord for touching his body after prayer was offered last night. And Brother John Francis would like to thank the Lord on behalf of his mother who was discharged from the hospital today after prayers offered for her a few weeks ago. Amen. May that be an incentive to all those who have a request in their heart tonight that God is faithful. Genesis chapter 2. Reading from verse 25. Going down to the 13th verse of chapter 3 in the book of Genesis, we begin. If you don't have a Bible, just share with somebody next to you. It's important. We would like to the people to know what we want to speak on and why we want to speak on these things. So just look in the Bible and share with somebody. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. That's verse 25 of Genesis chapter 2. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. They didn't know they were naked before, but now they knew it. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you unto one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ." Look at that kind of terminology there, espoused, husband, virgin. "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety," because the Bible says he's more subtle than all the beasts of the field, "and Eve said, the serpent beguiled me, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus." Now you see how it gets spiritual right there. Amen. First he's talking about husband and wife and virgin and subtlety and beguiling, and then he talks about somebody come preaching another Jesus. Amen. "Whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." Let's drop down to about the 13th verse now. "For for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Revelation chapter 3. So that in the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, now the end of the Bible. Revelation chapter 3, reading from verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." And that was how she estimated herself, you see, in her own eyes. But here's how God is seeing her now. "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich," to get real riches, "and a white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear," because the shame of her nakedness had appeared. It was exposed, and she thought that she was clothed. He said, "But you're naked and you don't know it. So come and buy a white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that they shall thy nakedness not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set on my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Let us bow our heads one more time. Our Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight. Lord, is so needful. The hour is late, the time is far spent. Evil is on every hand. Lord, there's a spiritual blindness and darkness upon the people of this world. But we see a promise here, as we have read. You said, come and buy of me eye salve. Your eyes may be anointed. You may see. Come and buy of me white raiment. You may be clothed with the shame, and your nakedness will not appear. Come and buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. God, may we have that tonight. May we receive it during the course of this service. May we recognize ourselves. May we not walk away and forget what we look like. But Father, may we make ourselves ready. For it is written that the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Let us be made ready, Father. Let our garments not be spotted by the flesh, but may be filled with the Spirit. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. You may have a seat. I want to welcome everyone in the precious name of Jesus Christ tonight. So glad to have all the visitors, everyone that made it possible to be here tonight. Trust that God richly bless you. And might be a little kind of packed tight together, but nevertheless, we didn't come for a comfortable seat. We come to hear the word of God. We would appreciate a comfortable seat, and we would more than be glad to give one on to you, but by the grace of God, it's the only accommodation we have. And we trust that you would find it comfortable and you'd be able to sit down and receive something from Almighty God tonight. Amen. I'd like to go right in the Word tonight, because I don't want to be too lengthy. Been holding along, and when I hold along, it's hard for me the next day, because when you preach so much and so often and then so long, you know, it kind of weighs down a little bit. So I want to take for the title tonight, Veiled from the Evils of This Evil Age. And those of you who were there in service Sunday morning, had started this, speaking about the insanity of this age. But the Bible said in the last days, the people will be blind and wretched and naked and miserable, and they wouldn't know it. Now we know when God speaks, his word is true. The Bible said that every man would be a liar and let God would be the truth. And if God said the people would come into that condition, and they would look at their own self, and they would think that they're clothed, and they're rich, and they increase with goods, and they have need of nothing, that is the way they would esteem their own self. They would think of themselves so high, that through their own self-estimation, in their own eyes, they will see that that is the condition. And then the Apostle Peter, speaking to somebody in 1 Peter chapter 3, talking about a husband and wife, he says sometimes your prayers are hindered. Amen. When the husband and the wife is not in harmony. Amen. And then we find out, why does the sick come and be prayed for and go back not being made whole? Amen. Because the husband and the wife is only a type of Christ in the church. Amen. And sometimes as a wife, we should take inventory of ourselves. Amen. As the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. To see if our prayers have not been hindered because we're not in the harmony that we ought to be in with our bridegroom, our headship, the Word of God. Amen. Because the Word of God have shown unto us so clearly in this day that the same harmony that existed between the Father and the Son must exist between the bride and the groom. Amen. Because the two shall be one.
Amen.
Jesus said, I and my Father is one.
Amen.
See, when Adam looked at Eve, he said, she is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh.
Amen.
She is me expressed in a female form.
Amen.
And the bride have the faith of his faith, works of his works, life of his life.
Amen.
Everything that he is, she must be.
Amen.
That they may be one.
Amen.
And the last day she will near the headstone.
Amen.
And as she near the headstone, she will be in his own image.
Amen.
In order to be united with him.
Amen.
And this is the hour in the evening time. As is shown in the Bible, in the book of Genesis 24, God in a shadow portraying something for the last days, which we have seen come to pass by our eyes being anointed to recognize the reality of that scripture.
Amen.
To see the shadow and then to see the reality.
Amen.
That Abraham sent out a servant in the evening time to go and get a bride for his son.
Amen.
And the servant prayed a prayer.
Amen.
Such a hard prayer.
Amen.
But he wanted to be certain. He took back character for his master's son.
Amen.
Amen. And then the Bible said when she was being brought, and the time came, they was nearing the place where the bridegroom was to be, the unseen bridegroom, that she was traveling this rugged journey. Only a revelation in her heart of the unseen bridegroom that was preached to her by the messenger.
Amen.
Rebecca didn't see him.
Yes.
Until the time came when the messenger introduced her unto him. Say, here is your bridegroom. Here is what I preached for all these years. Behold the bridegroom.
Yes.
Amen. And you can imagine that season. After the journey, as we have had it spiritually.
Amen.
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 Until we come to the evening time. Until we came to the well. Until we saw the messenger.
Amen.
Until that by inspiration, we were ordained to behave how we behave.
Amen.
When we saw the messenger.
Amen.
Amen. When it came to decision, we didn't say that's our prayer meeting and pray about it. We didn't say go up in the bush to fast. They said, what will it? Let the damsel speak for herself. Say, I will go. It was quick. It was decisive. Something struck her heart. She had experience. Something brought faith. It was spontaneous. It was God doing it. Hallelujah. And once the arrow flashes across your path, amen. You have to wonder twice whether that is God. It's a hand of glove. If you are going to be part of him. Amen. When that word comes across your path, something tells you, this is it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God is on the scene. She was no hothouse plant. She didn't have to be spared and babied. But the messenger laid flat in a long journey. It's very rugged. It's too dangerous country. Many sleepless nights. Amen. Over mountains and valleys. All kind of rubbers on the way. But I'm taking you to the bridegroom. Will you go? She said, I will go. Hallelujah. That is the way I feel the bride is tonight. I will go. God spoke it. Something in the heart was longing. No doubt, down in Haran, down in that place down there, she might have walked them streets. Amen. But she was an eagle in the barnyard. She grew up there right there, and Laban, her brother right there, and her father and her mother, all them there. But something was different about her. In that family, an eagle was hatched out. Amen. And she was only waiting to hear that eagle message. All those years in darkness. Amen. But there was something in her heart longing for something real. She couldn't find in Haran, but she wouldn't defy herself. She stayed there faithful. Maybe one day, amen, God going to dawn a new day upon me.
And then all what I'm longing for going to come to pass. Quickly she could realize it. Amen. From the time the messenger spoke, and he spoke with authority, she said, this is no theologian. This inspiration from Almighty God. Hallelujah. It was different. It was something her heart was longing for. This I don't know, a funny spirit behind it. I could feel the cool, clear water as crystal. It bring a refresh in the heart already. Hallelujah. Amen. Something was real to her. That the faith make her look to the unseen. From that time she met the message, she was looking to the unseen. Because she was traveling to meet a bridegroom, she couldn't see with the physical eyes. But the message had a ring of truth. It was seasonal. It was meeting the deep inside the heart. Amen. Mother and father said, let the damsel speak. She said, I will go. Amen. Quick response to the word. She put up no front and said, well, you know, I have all my friends down here. And you know, they just elect me last week, you know, to be a vice president of the society. And, I'm pitching out all the papers here, you know, for the new queen show coming up. And where was that? Amen. You didn't think about that? She heard a message of love. Hallelujah. It struck her heart. Amen. That was enough for her. Amen. And but she began to travel. And when she came, then the messenger was preaching all the way along. No doubt he might have been preaching about way back in Genesis, come right down. And preaching all the mysteries. And finally, he began to identify to her what was happening. It was late in the evening time. And it's coming in. I could imagine what a beautiful sunset that was. Amen. That particular evening, the sun was setting in all its glory and beauty. Amen. And but the wheat was ripe in the field. Amen. The full golden grain was all over. Amen. And the scene was so nice, and there was like a peace in the atmosphere. And you could see the doves and them flying, going to nests. Amen. And the shepherd taking the sheep back in. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, they alighted on the horse. They looked there, and she saw this young man. But he was meditating. He wasn't in no wrong atmosphere. He was meditating in the evening time. He was watching the setting of the sun. Hallelujah. He was thinking, it's around this time, so that messenger should be bringing that bride. Amen. Hallelujah. It's about time. Hallelujah. Inspiration struck him and he saw in the distance. Amen. The camel is coming. Amen. In his rhythmic stride coming across the hills there. And he started beginning to look at it. The eyes from a distance, like a great magnetic force, vibrations, maybe in the distance begin to move like electricity. Something was happening. Like it's happening to your heart tonight. If you tune to the right frequency, if you come hungry for God, He can make love to your soul tonight. Amen. Your bridegroom, the Holy Spirit, who have come down among you. Amen. He had sent gifts, they had sent raiment, they have sent different things. And here she was coming, she shouted to him and said, who is that there? And every time he spoke it, she took the veil and veiled herself. She was veiled. Amen. Hallelujah. But she saw a headship. Amen. She broke into that place. Right away, something struck her heart. Sacred womanhood. Amen. Conduct yourself. Amen. Indeed, with holy decency. Amen. But I can imagine when she came on that camera, she was marching onward Christian soldiers in a graceful stride, going out there to meet the bridegroom. Amen. What a beautiful picture that was. But that's exactly how it was back there. You see, because here in the scriptures, as we look and we see that God bring a bride in the evening time, the time for the marriage, where the two have to become one. Amen. That's what he's looking for. And the people, they fail to catch sometimes. It is because of the experience that God has taken them into. They have failed to understand the part of the scripture they were living out. It was the part of a bride. And by the time they left, the inspiration was a part of a bride. And they begin to pick up a wrong spirit. Then they begin to get into disharmony rather into harmony. See? And then the prayer is going to be hindered. And they think, well, maybe it's God testing me. And then maybe they quote and say, well, sight and time is God's greatest enemy. And maybe you should have patience that God's going to perfectly fix the heal, but they ain't heal yet. But have faith and believe one of these days, because it will take place one of these days. But it could be a prayer being hindered too. Amen. As a church, who's supposed to write another book of Acts? Because the first bride wrote 28 chapters until she get defiled. But the second bride, who will not be deceived, who will hold them sacred, virtue sacred. And prove she's the right kind of woman. Prove she's not like Miss Baptist, who God will stone with hailstones. Prove that she's not like Miss Methodist, who God will stone with hailstones. Prove that she's not like the great harlot, who God will stone with hailstones and burn with fire. But she'll prove that she's Lady Jesus Christ, the elect lady. Hallelujah. That was seen in the vision when the angel told John, come, I'll show you the Lamb's wife. I'll show the harlot came in a desert. He said, look at that, sitting on seven hills, drunken with the blood of the martyrs, says of Jesus. But come, I'll take you on a high mountain and I'll show you the Lamb's wife, the bride, the new Jerusalem. Amen. Jerusalem. Hallelujah. God's wife. Amen. What a hour it is. You, that is you. We have been called out a people for his name's sake. And God, because of your sacred womanhood, because he saw how you conduct yourself around preachers, he saw how you conduct yourself around all these different spirits. Amen. He saw how chaste your conduct were. Amen. Like the ranch boss son. He wasn't watching how they dress up and with all the fringe and all the how they dance and how they spinning the pistols and how they had the hat at the side of their head and how they walk with a little twist and these things. He wasn't watching that. From the time he saw a bunch of corruption, he went to the back door. Amen. And he found a little old maiden there ragged, washing away, throwing out dishwater. But he saw something inside of her that the rest left in the cradle. The morals and the virtue he saw in her, they had lost it in the cradle. They didn't know to conduct themselves a wrong man. She still had the shyness. She still had the modesty. Amen. Hallelujah. She was big and brave and making the advances and trying to take over the conversation. No, sir. And no wonder when Eliezer watched them people come by the well, he said, look, the kind of people that have done inside of here, Abraham might shoot me if I came up one of that. Is it because my master already told me that he's going to have a son, and through that son, the seed is going to come, and different things, and then I saw the boy born, I saw these things come to pass, and now it's time for the Messiah to come through that lineage, and look, let me make sure I get something proper. So when Eliezer saw them kind of spirits down there, no doubt, he prayed the kind of prayer he prayed. He said, well, God will take you to provide that thing there. Hallelujah! He said, God will take you to provide it. And that is put in the Bible to let you know Christ is not going to be married to no flirter. Christ is the bridegroom. He's not going to be married to no worldly church. He's not going to be married to no church who don't know how to conduct herself. Not no church who have no rowdy spirit. Not no church who don't know how to walk in his word. Not no church woman who's slapping around with the world. No, sir. He's looking for a woman who will obey every word. She will say amen to every word. She will reverence and say, my Lord, my God. She will say, feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's looking for character like Boaz was. When Boaz came there, look at all through the Bible. When Boaz came there in the evening time, he was watching all them maidens, all them damsels coming through. He was a single man. He was a great lord of the harvest. But he was watching those spirits in the field. He saw them. He knew every one of them. And he had faithful reapers who would report to him also what's going on. Hallelujah. So then after when he saw Ruth there, day after day, no doubt they're giving her a hard time. But she was conducting herself a wrong man. Amen. She knew how to behave herself. So when Boaz saw that, others, He says, call a damsel. Amen. What a fountain. Why is she different? Amen. She pick up the same bunch of sheaves like the rest. She clean the same field like the rest. But why is she different? She have another kind of spirit. Amen. Have another kind of walk. Amen. She has something that the others don't have. Amen. And boy, it's the type of Christ in the harvest time. Which means the harvest time, the end of the age, is the harvest. Amen. And here Boaz, his eyes, them eagle prophetic eyes, is looking for character. Because he owns the whole world. He owns the universe. He's not going to want a headache for eternity. Amen. Look at Ahasuerus and Esther in the book of Esther. When the king sent the word out for Vashti, she wouldn't come. He got rid of her right away. Amen. Hallelujah. And Esther, amen, had the character. She was quickly, amen, to the king's call. Amen. When the king would call, she would respond quickly. The way she walked in the king's presence alone. You can know she had been trained by them seven messengers. Them seven eunuchs. She took heed to the message. She wasn't just glad to be in the message. The way she walked and conducted herself, she was part of the message. She was reflecting the message. Because those men was castrated men. They had no seed to plant. Amen. There was eunuchs. God don't want no man with their own seed on his bride. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants eunuchs in the pulpit. Amen. God wants man who have no thoughts of their own. But they're not no free thinkers. Man who will pull along reason and imagine quickly. Pull along them strongholds and put their feet on the neck of them five kings. Hallelujah. Put your neck on, put your foot on the neck of King Reasoning. Say, shut your mouth, amen. You reason what? Amen. Cast it down. It's contrary to the world. All these little ideas will exalt itself above the knowledge of the word. When the word of God comes to us something, you have your idea. And you're going to hold on to your idea. You exalt it above the knowledge of the word. Amen. A veiled woman. Veiled from the evils of this evil age. Look in the Bible here. As you notice, Adam and Eve back in Genesis. The God made up his Eden in 6,000 years. 6 days. Man was created in 6 days. First Peter says, a day with God is in 1,000 years. And here, we see God in the 6 day made man in the cool of the evening. Then he separated the feminine spirit from the master and put it in another body. Because we know he created male and female, but when he created man, not as individual male and female was in one body. For Adam was both masculine and feminine. Because you see, it was a great mystery laying inside of them. So the female dog, the female hog, the female cow, the female cat, it was all created before the woman. Because when Adam was there, the animals passed before him and he named them. Amen. Male and female passed right there. All God's creation. And then the Bible says, but there was none for Adam. Amen. There is no mate for Adam, no help for him. And then the Lord decided, all right, I'm going to get some help for him. But then the Lord was showing. He did it that way because he wanted to teach something. He wanted to foreshow something. Because that's only a natural type. See? There's only a natural type back here. For showing the second Adam, which is Christ, when he comes. He's going to have a bride too, and his bride will be part of him. So when God is going to make Adam a bride now, he took from Adam himself, part of Adam, the same material Adam was, part of the rib and the feminine spirit, and he made Eve. And he presented her to Adam, and Adam said, this is bone of my bones, this is flesh of my flesh. Amen. Now what's something? So here it was now, then the Bible said God had them veiled. They were veiled the Holy Spirit because they were naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They didn't know they were naked. Could you imagine that? Adam and Eve, naked and don't even know it? Amen. That must be something. To see all those things are back in the Garden of Eden. A naked man and a naked woman. Amen. They were naked and they didn't even know it because Adam and Eve were two spirit beings. Because they didn't come from flesh. They come from thought toward the flesh. God created them. Adam before, he was made in the image and likeness of God. And John 4 said, God is a spirit. Then God saw there was no man to till the soil. Amen. So God put the man now from word to flesh. Amen. God gave him five senses. This physical body. See, taste, hear, smell and touch. Five senses. That is given to contact this physical dimension that we live in. God, we live in three dimensions here. Light, matter and time. There is a fourth dimension which is radio and television. That's science. The fifth dimension is where the people who die outside of Christ goes. What the Bible called a prison house where they're in torment. What the Bible in 1 Peter 3:18-20 said Jesus went after he died on the cross, after the body died and they put the body in the tomb, the soul, the theophany, because Jesus was the word made flesh. That word, Melchizedek, went and preached to the souls in prison. Then came back and quickened that body and brought it back out of the grave. So that is a dimension somewhere. This physical body is not you. As we always say, you are a spirit son and a spirit daughter of the spirit God in a flesh body. You is not a body with a spirit in it, you know. You're a spirit son and a spirit daughter of the spirit God in a flesh body. Because the flesh body was given to you to contact this physical dimension. That is why in the sixth dimension, they don't need this body. Where is Paul's body? In the grave. Where is Peter's body? In the grave. They're going back to the elements. Because the Bible says the earthly tabernacle be dissolved, there's another one waiting for you. An eternal, made without hands in the heavens. A theophany. Hallelujah. A body like angels. A word body. Amen. And that's the word we bypass. How do we come from thought to word like Jesus? To flesh. Just like Adam, from thought to word to flesh. We came from thought to flesh. We bypass the word. We bypass the image of God. Man was made in God's image. This is 1 Peter. You know what? After your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, going, bodily kindness. And then love. The divine, be partakers of the divine nature of God. God's life. You see, God, man is made in God's image. But we bypass that image and we come taught to flesh. We come by sex desire. We're born in sin, shape, iniquity, come in the world speaking lies. Born of the heat, born of flesh is flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. You came, you were children of wrath by nature. Walk after the course of this world. Love of the pleasure and all these things. You were dead in sin and trespasses. See, that was our first state. But the Bible says, but God rich in mercy. Hallelujah. But God rich in mercy. Because like every farmer, he plants the seed. He works the soil there and he plants the seed in the dirt. And he don't go and water the road. He know where he plants the seed. So he go and put water upon the seed and he plants there. And God have trained that dirt, American dirt, German dirt, all kinds of different dirt. Amen. And God planted seed in that dirt. See? And then the time comes, the Holy Spirit comes to water that seed, to quicken that seed with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because ye must be born again to see the kingdom of God. To break into the supernatural realm. Because we walk by sight first, and then we walk by faith after. See? Paul said, the life I live now in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. See, the life I live now in the flesh is now quickened. We look at the things that are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Amen. See, and then the seventh dimension is God Himself. So here, when God made man, was spirit man, is the word standing there. He didn't come to flesh yet. Then God now had the garden, all these things here. Then God put Adam in flesh. So when Adam came in flesh, you know, God gave him five senses to contact this physical home. So Adam and Eve, the two of them, there was no fleshly attraction. Because then they knew that the flesh was not one another. Then it was only given to them to contact the earthly home, to live in the environment where God had placed them to dress and to keep the garden. So that was just work clothes. Amen. That's all it was. That was just work clothes. See? So the lust was not the air. Because they didn't know they were naked. You see, because the animals didn't have any clothes for them to know they were naked either. They were veiled of the Holy Spirit. And they knew they were spirit beings. They knew the God who used to come in the garden and walk was a theophany, a spirit God, not Melchizedek. He used to come with them in the evening for communion. Hallelujah. See, they knew that. So it had no attraction there. See, that was the consciousness, the realm that they were in. Amen. They were spirit, they were word before they came flesh. And they looked at the animals, and they knew the animals was not like them. Amen. See, because the animals have no soul. See, the animals do have no soul. But they had a soul. There was part of God. There was an attribute of God expressed. So the beauty that was attracting Adam to Eve and Eve to Adam was the soul. Was the God inside of them. Hallelujah! Was the God inside of them. When Eve see Adam, she said, "Boy, my Lord." Not boy, my Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. She said, "Whenever I see you walk, the way you talk to me, it keep me being reminded of God constantly, because you're just like God." And he would watch and say, "Get up, God of a bride. Well, it has to be like you." Amen. "Because whenever I see you walk, it's just like God." So there was no fleshly attraction. They never look upon one another outward appearance. Because they was veiled with a holy veil. Hallelujah! What Adam knew Eve as was something to satisfy that inside the flesh. Not the flesh outside what is inside. I hope that makes sense. Amen. See. No, what's the matter? No, that was the first bride and groom back there. That one came from God. If you say God ever joined two people, you know God joined those first two right there. Alright? So here she was veiled now. Veiled with yeah, the sensitive veil. They look at one and Adam came walking. What she would see would be God at church, how you walk with faith. Yeah. Adam conduct himself, what you see is his humility. Yeah. She never watched Adam muscles or compare Adam muscles with his serpent muscles. He never had that kind of spirit. You never see Adam in the back lifting weights in the evening. You know, you can't. Because Adam found that Eve, you know, watching the serpent more, because the serpent body must be bigger or something. No, it wasn't that at all. They were veiled from that. They were two spirit beings. They were the word for that age. Standing there, they were God on display. It's God in male and female form standing there. Amen. Christ in the church being reflected. Amen. Now watch. Then that was on the sixth day. And in the cool of the evening time of the sixth day, the 6,000 years, the church, Eve and Adam, the bridegroom, they were naked and they didn't know it. Now look, Revelation chapter 3 says, and to the church of the Laodiceans, right? "You're also naked and knowest it not." In the book of Revelation, the church is naked
and don't know it. She is veiled too from her nakedness. But this time is not a holy veil that veiled Adam and Eve first. But this time it is a lost veil. You see? Now, as we say, verse 25, chapter 2, they were naked, the man and they knew it not. Verse 7, chapter 3, and the eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. How it happened? The answer lies between verse 1 to 6 in chapter 3, just between those two portions of scripture. One portion said they were naked and they knew it. Next portion said they were naked and they knew it. So between there, something happened to take the veil off. And that is the seed. If you see that, you understand why the church today is naked. The serpent came and he began to preach to Eve. He said, yeah, had God said, you shall not eat of all the fruit of the tree of the garden. And he quoted the scriptures. And she might say, yeah, but he was encouraging me in the Lord. Eh? Look how he reminded me of what God said. But he's going to slip in the nut and nut up the whole thing. Now watch. So then now the next thing comes. The woman said to the servant, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. So there's a big scriptural discussion going on about God's word. See? And then the serpent says to the woman, you shall not surely die. See? And that he's slipping one word, not. Not a paragraph, not a sentence, not a chapter, one word, not. God said, you shall surely die. He said, you shall not surely die. But the day, your eyes shall be open. In other words, my, you sure a little naive thing, you. You mean to say, you so blind in this great age of illumination? You mean to say that that's all you, that's all the vision you have? Your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And the Bible says, when the woman saw. Now she started seeing the day we will die. A little conversation, and then she saw it was good for food. She became unveiled right in the conversation. The veil was taken off of her. He began to spray her with something that began to give her a passion and a lust to know more. What God didn't promise them. What God didn't tell them about. But he's going to explain what God's saying. And here is Paul now. Paul here speaking 2 Corinthians. And he's saying now. He says, look. He's telling the Corinthian church. He said, look. I want to talk to you. I want you to bear with me my folly. He said, look, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you. In other words, he said, I'm like a minister here trying to espouse you unto Christ. Amen. Amen. To one husband. In other words, like Eve had a husband. If she wanted to know anything, she should ask Adam it. Adam is the one to ask. The word say, when you go home, ask your husband. See? So right away, he said, I want to expose you to one husband that I may present you a chaste virgin. But we are big people here, you know what a virgin is. She's undefiled. So here I come now. Paul is reading the same Genesis. Get it? Because he's telling the church here, as the serpent beguiled Eve. Because Eve came and God said, what happened to you? He said, the serpent beguiled me. Now Paul is using her very words. And tell the church. So through Paul's words, we'll see what happened back there. Because Eve was a virgin. She had one husband. Adam didn't know her yet as wife. They were just bride and groom, not man and wife, bride and groom. They hadn't come together yet for him to know her as wife. And then she went there with the serpent now, and she began to get out of the inspiration of her sacred trust, her sacred responsibility, and she began to forget how to conduct herself around other men. And she was conducting herself around the serpent the way she has conducted herself around Adam. And it was wrong. Amen. Now watch. So when it happened now, Paul watched the kind of spirit. In other words, he told the church, he's like, you're a flipping spirit, you know. Because he said, if these come preaching another Jesus. No, Jesus is the Word. See? That we have not preached, if we come preach another gospel, that we have not preached, that is seed. The gospel, the good news, is seed, the Word being preached. See? Because the serpent came preaching another gospel. He came preaching another Jesus. Because not so God had said it. The way God said it, you will surely die. Like the people have all kind of different ideas where they will, where you can ordain a pervert to be a priest. You can do this. You know, you have men, people married, two men together, all kind of foolishness. What God is going to kill them for? That kind of spiritual death. See, eternal separation from the presence of God. That's what it is. So watch. So then you look and you see those things going on today. And it's going on because we see where all these things start in the beginning. This is the seed of it. The first one come preaching was the serpent. Satan came perverting the word that was given to them to obey and live by. And Eve, who was part of Adam, a type of the church, who had a headship, who was in a union, who was in a marriage, who was governed by certain laws of matrimony, who was supposed to be holding them sacred, virtue sacred. She allowed herself to be pulled away from the word of God by a silica. She received another gospel, another spirit, another seed, and she became a Cain. And Cain was religious to the core, because you made an altar, you worship, you do everything, and God said, I have no respect to that. He bought apples and grapes and pears and flowers and all kinds of things, because he thought that's what they eat back in the garden. And Abel brought a lamb and killed it with blood splattered all over, and God's fire came down. And Paul is watching Eve back there and saw what caused the fall, what brought all, why do people die today? It's because of the fall. See? And a woman caused the fall. That's why God said, in sorrow you're going to bring forth the pain. See? Because they made aprons. They didn't put nothing over their mouth. They made aprons. They cover the private parts. See? If you don't believe that, believe the spiritual part then. Because that's what Paul is saying. He's telling the church is a virgin. But you're going to get your mind, the spiritual womb, because that's where you receive the word first. The seed come in here and then conceive inside of here. And you're going to get somebody messing you up quickly. Because the way you're listening and floating around all those funny preachers who preach all the false doctrine, it's the same way you're behaving with the truth too. So like you don't know who's your husband really. You don't even realize you're already in a covenant. You're already a spouse. Look in the Bible where Joseph was going to put away Mary privately. He was a spouse unto her. The marriage didn't take place yet. He was a spouse unto her. And then what happened? She was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph didn't have the revelation yet. So he's going to put her away privately, because the Bible has been a just mind. He wants to make her a public example and make her shame. And then the angel appeared to me in a dream and says, fear not, that is of the Holy Ghost. It's the scriptures coming to pass. You see, but this here Paul is telling plain. The angel now is telling plain. That is not of the Holy Ghost. That is another Jesus. That is another seed. That is another spirit. I need you to listen to that. When the time comes for the marriage of Christ, you'll have somebody else's baby. Yes. Because you wouldn't be a virgin no more, being presented unto Christ. Because the Bible says in the last day there'll be what? Seducing spirits. 1 Timothy 4. That'll make the people depart what? From the faith. Now the seducing spirit, it has to come from the clergy. Because the woman is a type of the church. The church is a type of a woman. Now when man is preaching God's not woman, man has the seed. Man is a part of the ark. Amen. That's why a woman is put apart once a month for uncleanness. Because that is because of the fall. In the Garden of Eden. To remind them every month, a monthly sign, that they're unclean because of that fall. Disobedience to God would. Then what about the church of the living God? Because the woman is only a type of the church. Because I'm taking you through the Bible and showing you. Here the church in the end of the Bible, when Eve came to Adam, she was already unveiled, but Adam was still veiled. And no doubt she came back walking different. She was twisting and when she was walking, coming back. Adam said, he went out too. No, there's something wrong somewhere. The birds hushed, the singing, everything went contrary. Right away, you could have feel death stepping, something contrary stepping right away. Because God continuity is broken. The lifeline is broken, the timeline is broken, everything is broken right there. Had no time yet. Had no death yet. Had no sickness yet. Everything was peace. The animals there was a fight yet. Everything was in harmony. Because God thought it was good. See? And how did he did it do it? Through his subtlety. That word subtle in the Hebrew means maha, M-A-H-H. It means having a knowledge of the principles of life. The serpent was more subtle, had a knowledge of the principles of life. That he even had the ability to speak. We only have three kingdoms in the earth, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the human race. And the serpent was the link between the animal kingdom and the human race. It was the most supple of all the beasts, not a reptile, the most supple of all the beasts. It was the link between the human race and the animal kingdom. Today, science, knowing there is some association, they can't find the missing link. So what they do, they take all the seed of the male closest, all the chimpanzees and the girls, it don't mix. So they, like this man Darwin, he ended up with his theory with a missing link. He couldn't prove it. But he saw association, he saw certain things, and he couldn't prove it. So it backfired about evolution, all this kind of foolishness. That type of evolution is wrong. Because time to hybrid something, it can't produce back itself. You see? So notice right there, what happened? The Bible said, God cursed it. Upon thy belly thou shalt go. It wasn't to walk on his belly all the time. The curse is put on his belly. The woman never had an unclean thing all the time. She should not conceive in sorrow all the time. But the curse brought those things. The judgment brought those things upon her. The earth never bear thorns and thistles. It's the curse. Thorns and thistles the ground shall bring forth now. Man didn't have to eat bread by the sweat of his brow. He said, no, by the sweat of his brow you eat bread. The curse brought those things. So the serpent had a seed. Now get this here. They were so close to Adam's seed, they could mix with Eve's egg. And Paul was saying, these men preaching another Jesus. Which in Galatians, he put it this way. He said, which is not another gospel, it is the same gospel perverted. So much of the truth to sound like truth. But the little 100% error. See, that little 100% error is where the deception came in. Because Eve had already got a whole punch in a filter that she couldn't filter out the nut. Amen. She just shut your mouth. She shouldn't get into that talk so far with him. The talk should have never been so far. Because by the time she get in the atmosphere, her spiritual womb open up.
and she gets conceived in a spiritual womb, and then she was pregnant physically afterwards. But the word that has been spoken there began to open up her spiritual womb, her mind, and she began to receive that. And spiritual death struck immediately before physical death took place. And Paul is watching the Corinthian church there, and he was seeing where it's going back. Fornications among them. You see all kind of uncleanness. Man taking communion, living unclean, all kind of different things going on. And he saw it, man living in the mud, all kind of different things in the church. And he took a rod. See? And then he began to put a gospel spanking on the church. And he said, look, that kind of spirit you have for a woman. He said, don't forget you're a woman. And don't forget you're a chaste woman, a virgin. Don't forget Christ is not, don't want no other kind of woman. He said, because here, the way you're flirting, if you get seduced by these, because that word beguile means seduce or to be led astray. As Eve was seduced, she was beguiled, led astray. See? And right here, Paul is showing, here the church veiled with the Holy Spirit. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. And then all of a sudden, that veil began to be taken off of them just like Eve. And they begin to float. And then we find here in Revelation chapter 3, God said, you're naked. I don't even know it. You're blind. You don't even know it. And when was Eve naked? And they knew it. In the 6,000 year. That's when she was made, in the evening time. And then for 6,000 years, from the fall to this time, 6,000 years. First 2,000 years, God destroyed the flood of Noah. Second 2,000 years, Christ come. And now the next 2,000 years. And we need 6,000 years here. And here in the evening time, the church now is naked again and don't know it. What has happened? She is veiled to her nakedness, but not with the Holy Spirit. Because God rebuked her and said, repent. And repent with zeal too.
Amen, brother. True.
Be zealous and repent. See? Now watch. So after the veil of the Holy Spirit left Adam and Eve, then they could not bring it back. They could bring the Holy Spirit to veil them back. So they saw, look what they tried to do. They sowed fig leaves. In other words, they tried to make a veil now for their own self. But that veil they were making for their own self, to their own reasoning powers now, to their own imagination, couldn't take the place of the Holy Spirit. Because those were called fig leaves. When God said, where thou? He said, I was afraid. I hear a voice. I was naked and I hid. But they had on fig leaves. But that veil couldn't take the place of the Holy Spirit. Don't avail themselves now. They're still conscious of the nakedness. I want to get a good natural picture of what we hear spiritually. See? Now, here is the same thing now. Now, from the time the life of the Holy Spirit would leave one age, would leave the church. And it leave Luther, I went to Wesley, just the stalk, I went to the tassel. Just the tassel, I went to the shock, little the shock, I went to the grain. Just it left the Pentecostal church, I come to the bride. Then they could not bring it back in a passage. And when they failed to move on with the Holy Spirit, then they begin to, by the man-made tradition, make their own denomination, which is their own covering, their own veil. They begin to establish their own righteousness, their own religious works, and that was filthy rags in the sight of God. He said, your righteousness is filthy rags, which is the religious works, the organization, which they tried to make their own covering afterwards, because covering means religion. Religion means covering, rather. And that's the first bit of man-made religion that they made. God had them cover with the Holy Spirit. First. And the Holy Spirit, that spirit of lust and these things couldn't be there at all. While Eve was under that anointing, she was under the inspiration of a sacred trust. See, today you see many women marry, but they don't come into sacred womanhood.
They marry, but they don't come into sacred motherhood. All they have is wedding pictures and a ring on their finger. You see? But then, before a woman must enter the marriage, she must make sure she has sacred womanhood. Because if she doesn't have sacred womanhood and she enters the marriage, then the husband is blind. Then the lost spirit is not watching sacred virtues, he's watching flesh. That is thus saith the Spirit. He's supposed to be looking for character. If it's beauty looking for, then go along in JC's. Go along in all these places with all the carnival queens. Go Hollywood. Amen. See? Now watch. So long as she was under that covenant, then the effects of that covenant was to keep her conscious of her sacred womanhood, her sacred motherhood, and that she is to bring forth life. Life for redemption. Who could find a virtuous woman, Solomon said? Now in this day when Eliezer went out in the evening time, and he came out in this evening time, this is the day the Bible called the evil age. This is the evil day. And this is the day the Bible says, the mother of harlots, because she's a mother, that means she has daughters, a person could be a wife, a person could be a bride, but not be a mother. A mother is when you have children, then become mother. You might be potentially mother, but you're not a mother until you have children. So when she's a mother of harlots, then she's a prostitute, and then her daughter is prostitute. Alright? And that was the churches. And here, God was looking for a bride. So then he said, when he came out there, he saw all these churches that he himself called prostitutes. Why? Because they're unfaithful to the marriage vow. They're unfaithful to the word. They are floating spirit upon them. So when he saw those things, there, to get his bride was one in a million. Was a little group of the truth said you could find correcting. Who would obey every word. Who will not have his skirts defiled. You see? Type of the church. Now watch. So the same way he comes here and rebukes his children and say, you're blind. God come on the 6,000 day. 6,000 year in the cool of the evening, on the 6th day. And God come walking through the Eden again. But this time is not God Eden, this time is Satan's Eden. Because Satan for 6,000 years, when man fell, then Satan took over and began to build his civilization upon the earth. All the inventions of peacetime that they build off the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All the motor cars and all the different things that they build, the aeroplanes. It's killing more people than the inventions of wartime killing. Now, they are considered very civilized and scientific and advanced because of the amount of bombs and nuclear weapons they possess. They consider advanced and top of the world because they have that kind of thing. And yet talking peace is arming themselves more. You see? So when you see the civilization that Satan built 6,000 and then God come down there and you see this modern scientific church now. See? Designed by Satan. Because the Bible says, as one day Noah, so shall be in this day the woman will pretty or fear. And you watch a picture of some beauty some years ago. Ain't a beauty we have today. Because today, with all these cosmetics and all these different brands and everything, and the devil with all these hairdressing shops on every corner, to design, and all them different sort of clothes and different sort of fashions, to design those women to make them more fair. Amen. To do what? To bring God's judgment upon the earth. Because one immoral woman will send more men to hell than all the barons in the earth. So the Bible, who could find a virtuous woman? He came looking for a virtuous woman with character. See, a woman with sacred womanhood. Then he's looking for a church with sacred motherhood that would not raise up spiritual delinquents. God don't want that. He wants a church that will bring up children with sincerity and sacredness. They will know how to behave themselves in the presence of God.
Amen.
See? Not only a bunch of spiritual delinquents have young hippies in the pulpit and people out there wearing their pants and their shorts and saying they're Christians and have their hair bobbed off and their face painted up and saying they're Christians. No! That is spiritual delinquents.
Amen.
And you get juvenile delinquents because of parent delinquency. Why do you think you have a corrupt society? Because of corrupt homes. Because of corrupt churches. Because of corrupt schools. If those things start in the home, and every home had a certain standard, then they'll produce disciplined children. Then disciplined children will produce disciplined schools. Then disciplined schools will produce disciplined societies. Then they have disciplined churches. But you don't have that today. You have all these juvenile delinquents. Young children, very small. Even the junior secondary school, they have to put guards now. Why? Because we got all kind of dope pets and all kind of things inside the schools. Because that age. See? And the kind of entertainment that these people participate in. You look at it. In the very homes, parents sitting there with their children and watch all these filthy films. See? Parents have the young boy children, teenagers, now going to teenage babies, all kind of naked, pin-up girls all over the place. And the ones said, there's nothing wrong with it at all. They need a good bet. If those parents are any parents at all, because God's going to hold them responsible for producing that kind of home and that kind of children. They'll be judged for it. That's parent delinquency. Now watch. Then the church is a bring for life. Not social life. To get a good bunch of socializing people and all these kind of different things. And we have little bazaars and little banquets and little tea parties. And not that. She's a bring for God's own life. The Holy Spirit, the token that can save and redeem your families. Life for redemption. That by and through the church, God can finish the work. So the natural woman have those, is entrusted with those same sacred virtues that the spiritual bride is entrusted with. Amen. See? Because that is the type of order we're living in. Let me point a little bit here before the time fly away. Amen. Invisible union, page 12. Now marriage is the oldest institution in the world. Marriage is performed first and instituted in the Garden of Eden. And a woman is entrusted with certain characters she must not defile. A woman is entrusted with that. There's not a creature in the earth like a woman. No female dog, no female any kind is entrusted with the character a woman is. A woman was not even the beginning of the creation because God knew she would fall. All other females could not commit adultery. She's the only one that can commit adultery. If she had been made like the original, that would have been discomplimentary to God's wisdom. See, she was made a byproduct of a man because she was cast over in that side. She has also been given a sacred charge from God for redemption. Christ came to a woman.
Amen.
For redemption.
Amen.
Though the man is the germ bearer, the woman is the bedding ground to bring forth the life.
Amen.
See, that's why she must not defile that bedding ground. That's why God will not let Abimelech touch Sarah.
Amen.
The Messiah had to come to the air.
Amen.
See? So if she would mar those characters, if she would mar them, she's defiled for a lifetime. No matter how much she's given, she can't be justified. Is that track a little bit? She can be forgiven for her defilement, but she cannot be justified in this life. It is always with her. Notice now she has been given this. She may be forgiven, but not justified. her body is given to her as sacred trust from God. No female dog, no female bird, no female of any kind. It's because they all had a season. The male dog is only coming to the female dog for mating purposes, to produce young. They have a season that's come together. But a woman have no season. Now the woman is the only thing to commit adultery. A dog don't commit adultery, no? A female hog can't commit adultery. And the Bible says an adulteress will not enter the kingdom of God. So if no other female could commit adultery, an adulteress can't enter the kingdom of God, that means have to be a woman. See? So she has been given certain sacred responsibilities, certain sacred trust that she mustn't defile. She can be filthy and live with Tom, Dick and Harry. Or she can be faithful. She can run after this teacher, run after that teacher, run after that thing, get full up with a piece of the doctrine, get full up with a piece of that philosophy, get full up with this piece of this man idea, and mix up all in one. She's a prostitute. Because this seed is not that seed. See, you're taking in this seed, then if you're married to that husband, you're in trouble. Amen. Her body is bearing wrong for life. Now he says, notice. Her body is the bearing ground and therefore it is a sacred trust not to defile it. Now I'm speaking now, bringing this on an illustration to show you where the church stands. I'm not speaking to you, woman, whatever you are, that's between you and God, or you, man, but I'm speaking of the church and Christ. I want to name three things, he says, here that she must not get away from. Now in speaking, keep it to the church in mind while I'm speaking about the natural woman. Because God used Eve to begin with, Adam's bride, to be a type of the church, because Paul showed right here and says, as the serpent beguiled Eve, take care of the church, get beguiled also by this other serpent, which are these preachers. And a woman is made up a certain way and given certain sacred trust that the other animals didn't go have. And she has to hold that sacred, otherwise she'll be defiled and she can't be justified. So the church has to be. No, I'm speaking. He said, keep the church in mind. She has a sacred trust of virtue committed to her by the Lord. A certain virtue, nothing else holds it but a woman. That is right. That is committed to her by God. She must not defile that virtue. If she ever does anything wrong, she must confess to her husband before he takes her. Makes it right. Just as the church that was married to the law has to come also before Christ, before the second marriage, she has to confess that. And the law is not just be a 7 day or something there. He is not led by the Spirit, he is under the law. He is not born of God, he is under the law. Because the new birth puts you in the new covenant. New Testament means new covenant. So notice, she has a sacred trust of virtue that had been given to her, trusted by the Lord. God gave her that virtue just as it was in the Garden of Eden. She can say yes or no. She has a trust of sacred womanhood committed to her that she must not break. The womanhood I'm speaking about here is a conduct of wrong man. Keep the church in mind. Okay? Now look at these movie stars and them today. Are wrong. Kissing, hugging, all this kind of slapping all over these women. A woman that does that is a bad character. She might be virtuous otherwise, but see, in her heart, when those glands, sex glands in the lips, a man kissing a woman is actually potentially committing adultery. Sex glands in the woman's lips are in the man's lips. He can kiss her on the hand, it won't mix the glands. But the sex lines are in the lips. And see all this nonsense in Hollywood today, slapping, loving on with women and so forth, and little girls look at that. No wonder our morals are rotten and decayed and filthy, because it's put before the children. That is right. It has to be that way for the last days. Yes. No, he said, keep the church in mind. She's kissing and slapping, mixing along with everything else, except the word. Let the devil, through education, scientific researches, all these things is absolutely contrary to God. See, all these churches want to build hospitals, all these churches want to build this, all these churches want to have marathon for health, a long marathon running all over the country, get all human in shorts, display them all the body and all these things. And the church engage in those things. They're slopping around, just like flirting with all kinds of things in the world. They got worldly spirit get upon them. They should be serving the house of their husband, keeping his house in godly order. She has a second womanhood. No wonder woman act around man the way they do. It's because no wonder man act around the woman the way they do. It's because woman act around man the way they do. She can rock herself out here with a pair of shorts, skin tight man clothing, thing on the street. See, she might be virtuous to her husband, she can be, but in the sight of God, she's an adulteress. Because whosoever looking upon a woman to lust after has committed adultery to her in his heart already. Yes. You know what the Bible said?
Yes.
All right, now watch. And she presented herself like that. That is exactly what the church has done with the world. Now we're going to strike that, you know. What makes a woman does that is the kind of spirit upon the woman.
Yes.
Now here the Bible says now. 2 Timothy 3 in the last verse of the church. She loves a pleasure more than lovers of God.
Amen.
See? And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, and shall pleasure in unrighteousness.
Amen.
And that unrighteousness means her religious works that is contrary to the revealed word of God.
Amen.
Because if it's the church have a husband.
Amen.
And the husband is Christ and he's the word. And the wife must be in subjection to her husband.
Amen.
Because the woman is only a type of the church.
Amen.
What is natural, what is spiritual.
Amen.
I want a woman want to step out in the world here and care about herself and, you know, in an ungodly manner. And you see a church doing the same thing.
Yeah.
See, what that spirit in the church before you see it is a Holy Spirit. That how to be sacred and sincere and reverent before God and these things. You see, you see this radical kind of spirit. See, you watch it because of a woman. See, you have some kind of names in Trinidad here. What you call those type of women? See? They run by the savannah. Anybody tell me? They talk about Buckle and Peltaman. When you see the church in that kind of war, cantankerous, warlike, warfare kind of spirit, a woman. Something wrong. Might have a pretty face. But look at that spirit we're talking about. Just look at that. In certain cities, there are big parties where it's called, in calling society, church members, that they throw their hats on the floor and they get drunk and they pitch their keys into it. Every woman goes and pick up a key out of her hat. For the man that she will live with over the weekend. All kind of party with. I got someone to say here. He said, Lord willing, I haven't got time. And such filth as that. And the church is just as bad. He's picking up all these things these women do. How they slap around the screen. And we call it love pities. And people sit down there and rejoice. And they're taking that and they get. They say, what is a touching story? And they rejoice in fornication. They rejoice in adultery. On the screen. And again, blessed is a nice story.
Amen.
But the devil deceived them.
Amen.
They're having pleasure in unrighteousness.
Amen.
Because they don't have the godly conviction to walk away from that.
Amen.
And read the Bible in the home.
Amen.
That come too old fashioned and no joy in that.
Amen.
To listen to a tape, no joy in that.
Amen.
They have to go somewhere for entertainment.
Amen.
You see? That is the same spirit.
Yeah.
To make a person do those things. Then how can a person call himself a Christian and talk about going to heaven and God and the rapture and the third pole and the spoken word and all these kind of great things to happen? And that's the condition.
Come
that is, and knoweth it not.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you this now. And knoweth it not is a prophecy of the insanity of this world in the last days. Because for a person to be blind, naked, wretched, and miserable, and don't know it, that is an insane person.
Yeah.
And the last day, that is the condition of the church.
Yeah.
And that's why we're showing you these things here. Eve was veiled, and she was naked, and she didn't even know it. But the holy veil of the Holy Spirit over them. They look at one another, she knew she and Adam were spirit beings. There was a word. What attracted them was the God inside of them, the soul inside of them that came from God. The flesh was only to contact the physical environment. Because God never even gives them the law of production after the animals. The proof is, look how Jesus born. Jesus did not born by sex. And that was the way all of us were supposed to be born. That's why he tells us, you must be born again. You're born by sex, you must be born again. You come by the spoken word, you're alright. Amen. It's because Jesus didn't have to be born again. Because he was born right. That's why he didn't need salvation. But everybody born by sex need to be saved. But he came to save, not to be saved. He came to save. That's why in the last days, all these things loose upon the people. And all these demons through pornography loose upon the people. And they see all this increase in rape and all these things going on. All these pictures that inflict the place like entertainment. That's the name the devil is give it. But God's name is filth, abomination. And the penalty is judgment. And a Christian have no part in those things. He said the church is just as bad. Committing adultery and everything else. She has no right ground. Because the Bible says God is going to kill that church for adultery. Because in the Old Testament, God said, stone them and stone them. We took it out under the seventh vial. We found it that hailstones came out of heaven. And God is going to stone the people, which is the churches. Because the Bible says, Rome, she commit fornication with what? The kings of the earth. And she had the wine and the wrath of her fornication and false teachings and these things. Is that correct? Then what? Something. Then that is going to happen. And God is going to burn the house with fire, kill her and these things, stone her with hailstones. In the book of Revelation there, we went through all those things. Then here we see then how the church is getting to that condition, so the judgment of God will pour out. Look at Elijah. Did Elijah preach to Jezebel? But she wouldn't listen. Did John preach to Herodias? But she had his head cut off. Is that correct? The very same thing. In the last days, you're going to come against the bride because of the things you preach. Amen. See, he said, like we weren't supposed to put on clothes in the beginning. I'll preach on later this week. But we have to wear clothes because God gave us clothes. But in the beginning, we didn't need them. We were veiled. Now she is veiled to her sins. She don't even know she is sinning. See what's happening here now? She is sinning. And what she is veiled to, that it is sin she is sinning. She can't see she is sinning. Because a lost veil upon her. They call it a pleasure. See? Little things they do. They call it fashion. Hollywood, we'll get it. Let me just jump ahead. We'll get it. I won't strike it right. She didn't know she was sinning. She was then by, now she's veiled by the devil, then she was veiled by God. That's the difference. We find out that she had been given this sacred trust that she mustn't break her womanhood, her character, raise her children, be honorable to her husband. Nowadays, they pay a little more bit attention to that nothing. He said, what a sacred trust, what a responsibility to a woman. Now, see why she's the type of the church. Why did God make a woman that way to begin with? Why did God have a woman to go through those things to begin with? Because she is a type of Christ's bride. Why did God make Adam the way he made him first? Before and then put him to sleep and then took the bride out of him. Because he was a type of Christ. Because it's through Christ the mystery of God has been revealed. God's great plan of redemption he had in his mind. Who God is, how he works, his nature, all these things is being revealed and expressed through Christ. Look at parents. Jesus said, you parents know to give your children good gifts? And you evil? Is how much more the heavenly parent? The heavenly father. He prepared the Eden for them even before Adam and Eve came into existence. You look at like any good parent, they get the crib, they get the booties, they get the net, they get everything before the baby is born. And a natural parent do that reflecting the greater parent because they put thee on earth for that purpose. Natural father, his natural son. He played with him, fellowship with him, he talked with him, he communed with him, he see himself in his own son, he related and fellowship with him. Why? Because It is the teaching mode. Him and his heavenly Father. He is the Son of God. You see, your very whole life is structured to reveal God to you. Yet people want to go into all kind of false things. God went right there before them. That's why the Bible says people don't build out excuse. Because they know better. So watch. She's a type of the church which has the same responsibility as a woman has a sacred responsibility to her motherhood, to her virtues, to her husband. The church has a sacred responsibility to the prayer, to the word, to Christ. You see a church in praying, something is wrong. I thank God for a church that's praying. And I think we can pray more too. Amen. Church that reference the word. That straightens up with the word. When the word finds error, quickly they line up with the word. Because they know the voice of the bridegroom. The voice of my beloved. Amen. Speaking to me. Your ears attentive on to the things that you would say. You have not your heart towards him. Amen. You don't get no arrogant spirit to get vexed with him. Because he's your head. He's your Lord. Amen. See, just the same the woman has. And a woman drift off with another man when the church goes off on these institutional programs, building programs, school programs, all these things. I have nothing against him. He said they are all right, they serve the purpose. But Jesus never said go and make school, he said preach the word. Amen. Amen. So you see here we are nothing but a bunch of dying corruption. Because here in this age, we did that just not long ago where girls are going through the menopause and man change their life. 20-25 years they are going through middle age corruption. Why? Through hybrid foods. Long ago in boxing, they had a boxing match. They never even used gloves. John L. Sullivan, one of the old boxing champ. History says he hit a horse, a cuff, and knocked it out cold with his bare fist. Yes. Those fights before one end of the city to the other end of the city. They would fight 125 knockdowns. Because a knockdown was a wrong. Not 3 minutes. A knockdown was a wrong. And they've had 125 knockdowns. Today they have gloves, part of everything, a cover man, brain damage, concussion, is dead. What is happening? They're soft. Why? Hybrid foods. Because of the population explosion. Because of the spirit of immorality and sex and free love that bring on the population explosion. And people begin to multiply too fast. Nature couldn't provide the food fast enough to feed the people multiplying too fast. So it caused widespread famine. So then the scientists quickly now have to speed up the process of nature to grow the food faster to feed the people multiplying so fast. So instead of producing a weaker race of people. So then they're trying to cut down the population explosion by birth control. See? And all these different things. Tying tubes and all kind of devilish things. And through that now, when they do these things, they open a door for free love and sex and no responsibility and lack of self-control and all these things. See? They with all the technology and science, they put all the millions on the earth to build the skyscrapers, all the weapons of war, the tanks and the bombs and the planes and all the different things that comfort and all the skyscrapers and all these things, and then a little earthquake come, the whole city falling because nothing to hold it together. See, they tear up the atmosphere with all the bomb tests. They lose all kind of germs in the atmosphere and build all kind of disease through testing all these different things. It's man's science. They bring in their own destruction, eating off of the trend of knowledge of good and evil. And in the church also, because the hybrid brings a bigger crop. You got a hybrid chicken, it's bigger, but you have no life, it can't produce itself. You got a hybrid flower, it looks prettier, but a little bug climb a point, it eats it and kill it. And the same spirit in the churches, you see the big but hybrid Christians with hybrid faith. Bigger congregations. Better dressed people, more philosophical, more educational programs to make them more sophisticated. See, they get more adultery, they get more fornication, You get more loose living. You get Christians can't dress right because they're faith hybrid. No godly conviction is tearing the word. They have little complexes. Their feelings get hurt quick. Somebody tell them about the condition. They feel hurt. This ain't no nursery. Amen. You want to be babied and pat on your back and pampered? Like the mother's room inside of the air. All the babies inside of the air. Amen. You know, we'd have to answer God one of these days. And it's not many days from now. And thank God you'll hear the truth somewhere. It might make you feel uncomfortable, but it could save you. The old time religion, it will save you when you're dying. Yeah. It will stop the devils flying. Yeah. It will bring things from undercover. Yeah. It will help you. Yeah. You know what a pulpit is? This is a pulpit out of the pit. Yeah. And because of weak pulpits, people just get down in the pit. But we want the angel to speak a strong voice here. Carry a strong voice. Okay, let me close. Leave the rest for tomorrow night because we still come back tomorrow night. I don't want to hold the people too long tonight. 5 minutes and we close. Let's finish this here. This is not the 5 minutes like the last few nights, right? This is 5 real minutes. So the church have the same sacred responsibility? But look how she's getting a spirit hybrid. Just the same way the world get the spirit hybrid, the church get a spirit hybrid. Just the same way the woman in the world is worldly, the church gets worldly. Just the same way the woman in the world is loose, the church get loose. Just the woman in the world bringing all kinds of illegitimate children, the church is bringing forth all kinds of illegitimate children in the gospel too. Just church members. Ask them who they are. They're Baptists, they're Methodists, they don't know who they are. They don't know that son and daughter of God. They don't have God characteristics to identify. They are part of God's word for the age they're living in. They give them a blood test. The blood is not the blood of Jesus Christ, the word of God. So we are not but a bunch of dying corruption. Now that is what the church is also. It is in the same condition. She's a type. She has the same precious virtues by the Spirit given to her to preserve the Spirit and the Word and never commit adultery with anything of the world or anything. Stay virgin to the Word. A woman is to stay virtuous to her husband. It's a sacred trust. Honor her Lord, Word above every man, creed, denomination there is. The church is given that trust. They say, well, my church, I don't care what the church believes in. If it's contrary to the Word of God, stay from it. Now, get this is where we're going to strike. Sorry it come too late. It come at the end of the message, but we get it tomorrow. Now look, what Hollywood has taken the virtuous things from the woman. How did Hollywood do it? Now Hollywood, what we call Hollywood, or what we call cinema, or what we call entertainment, that is an institution that the devil has used to brainwash and deform people. That is not entertainment. I'll tell you how we get to the subconscious mind. And how they impress you with the wrong things and replace the real, the things that are real before you and give you fake, fictitious things. And put you in a world of illusion to live in. Because remember, your body feed on natural food to live. And you are what you feed upon. And spiritually, like you're feeding here tonight, the word of God. Now the bitter herbs, yes, but it's good. It's scriptural. Yeah. Now watch. And then you find that your physical body's not feeding off of this. It's your soul feeding off of that. See, like Eve, he gave her to eat. She partake of the wrong things. See? Now watch. Now the same way, when people, the Hollywood come and they put out these films that are speaking the other night, and they make a lot of films on revenge and hate and violence. See, and they put popular stars and different things. Which stars is really fallen stars? Because the Bible says Lucifer pulled on a third part of the stars. Many fell, when they fell, some many dropped right in Los Angeles. And then they became stars in Hollywood. But it's fallen stars from heaven, which is really demon spirits. See? So they call them Hollywood stars. So then here they come now. All kind of women married six, seven times. Old man, 80 years, talking about himself, a healthy sex life. Still taking all kind of hormones in the body to wear certain type of clothes when they go into the big dinners and all kind of foolishness. And then for people with a certain appetite of a paper, I think called the Enquirer or some. Is the Enquirer they call it? Bunch of filth. People are wasting their money there for nonsense. A bunch of lies. 99% of things not even true. That's a propaganda. To kill the people in that kind of in atmosphere. Those inquisitive, I want to dig and find them. Who like gossip, you see? Because the Guardian only have a little portion called the Talk of Trinidad, you see? That's the gossip column. So they want to be in tune with the overseas gossip. And all the people want to read about, what happened to Frank Sinatra? What happened to Sophia Loren? What happened to this one? They're important, they're going to hell if they don't repent. They are among the people they are already influenced to go to hell already. And misleading the world. See? They are the heroes of the world. And then they bring all kind of, after they full of the people, all this violence and hate and revenge, thy seeds. Next thing you find a certain season, the crime rate rise. They don't know why it rise. The pattern in some robbery and murders take a different turn. They don't know why it gets so. They're not connected it at all to the forms of entertainment. But like the seeds being sown, and every seed will bring forth after its kind. And the people's spirit being perverted. You see? All these different things. Then have all these mills and booms, all these sort of worldly novels, all kind of little cheap romance stories. And you're going on the airport, everybody's somewhere they want. You're going to the people travel and have that little time to spare. Everybody busy, head down inside of one. They're taking their seed. It's a seed they're taking. They're getting pregnant with a seed. And it's a seed of loss. All this pornography that sweep the country, all these blue flames, is loosing sex demons upon the people. And from the time that age comes in its fullness, watch out also preachers trying to find ways and means to give the churches more sensation. To make them more emotional. Emotional revivalism. The same spirit. But the natural spirit of denomination is the same spirit of fornication. Very same spirit. You see? That's how the people are getting into insanity. See? All these long ago people to go and see some witch or something. Like in the Bible, in the time of Saul. Saul went and hide. Disguised himself to go and see the witch of Endor because he knew the law was to kill anybody going in that kind of business. Today is normal to walk in and into some diviner office. It wouldn't be no woman with no crystal ball. She might have a name like a psychiatrist or something. Might have some nice name. Have some posh office. Might even have a reception on the outside. But a witch. You don't want to do it in the beginning of films. You don't have to go and hide no more. You go and sit down. And right there, those who call the exorcists and the omen and different things that bring them to put the people's mind and tune them in into the occult. You see? To take them into demonology. And they're doing it, they give you some religious story, and it turn out in the end, you know, like a maybe a triumph of good over evil, and give it something to brainwash them, you see? But not after certain part of the picture is well dramatized with a musical background to actually put them in the right atmosphere to receive it. To build up the emotions and all these things, they put on the senses to open up their mind to catch those things. Then they walk back out pregnant with it. So when they hit a certain circumstance or hear these things in the subconscious mind that they take into the eye gate and the air gate, begin to come down and torment them now. It becomes a temptation to actually trap them when they weren't taking it as pleasure to begin with, as entertainment. You see? But it's so, he had worked through Hollywood. The women they have made popular, all the great stars, they put them on the papers daily, all kind of naked women. See? And every paper, they put it there, all over the place, on television, radio, advertising that, until they make him a celebrity. They make him an idol, over millions. Until that spirit now, people begin to be identified with it. If you identify with Christ, Christ's spirit come on you. You identify with those people, that spirit come upon you. It's the same thing. Look at what Michael Jackson look alike and all these kind of things. It's a demon coming upon people. You see? But that is the spirit of this age. That's how Hollywood came and they brought these guys fashion. You can look at the daily newspapers. Young girls in junior secondary, senior secondary schools. They look at a vulgar position in the newspapers. Just to get a picture in the papers for a little popularity. Because it's honorable. A parent thinks, oh, well, my daughter's going so good, so she's modeling now, you know. I showed the paper last week, you know. Did you see it? You know, some people told us how she looks so nice, and she looks vulgar and dirty and filthy to get there. You see? And when you see those things happening in the nation, it shows exactly where the morals have reached. But you see, it comes as a popular thing. It comes as a fashionable thing. It comes as a trend for the season. So people don't see it vulgar anymore. A woman won't walk down Frederick Street in her underwear in the morning, but she'll go to a beach in the same thing called a bikini. The devil will give her next name. Take a different material and call it a bikini. Say, oh, it's a bikini, not my underwear. The same thing. It shows the condition their mind is perverted. They have gotten away so far from the reality that these things, they sin and they don't see the sinning because a lost veil is over them. They're naked and they don't know they're naked. I'm going to stop here tonight. So when this world goes into insanity in this last age, and because the church comes to annoy it not, that is a prophecy of where the world is going to go insane. It will strike the insanity tomorrow. And sure, that's exactly what those plagues and those vials and those things are. You get the other part of the vials. Now we see now how they're going to be judged. Why they're going to be judged. Now we were talking about the judgment. Now we see how they come into the judgment. How they reject the world. What happened to them? How they went after the world. How they lusted after the world for a more fashionable gospel, a more modern gospel. See, when they failed to realize Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I am God, I change it not. Yes. See? So they're going inside and hell is creating this. Let's read a scripture quickly as we close. Isaiah 5. May God help you to live holy, undefiled, unblemished lives in this hour. Be spotless. That you can be presented faultless, without spot, or without blemish. A church without spot, or without wrinkle unto Jesus Christ. That you can be presented a chaste virgin. Isaiah 5, reading from verse 8. Woe unto them who join house to house. That's a fashionable thing today. All these big apartment buildings. Who lay field to field till there is no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine heirs, in his heirs, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fear without inhabitant. Great, nice, big, he said, would be even great and fear without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield 1 bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. That's the type of measure they had back there. Woe unto them who rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them. You know what we have today? A bunch of alcoholics all over the place. Amen. Drinking day and night, women are drinking the man and all. Parbelly rum shops, you want to know where the attractions are there? When you get in, you realize it's rum. All these nightclubs, you see? And a harp and a lute, the timbrel and the flute and the wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone to captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with a thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Let me tell you, that is the very thing right there. Hell being created on the earth. Hell enlarge, open her mouth, enlarge herself, and taking this whole three dimensions of the living Satan Eden, where Satan himself will be the God of this world. He will sit in the temple and be worshipped as his God. Man will bow down to man and worship man, call man father, all these things, when Jesus said, don't do it. That's the hour. Hell will take over everything. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God is holy, shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste place of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were a cart rope. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh, and come that we may know it. Woe unto them who call evil good. Amen. All kind of men holding truth and unrighteousness. And they say, oh, he's preaching the word. Amen. I don't see nothing wrong in marriage 3 or 4 times. You calling evil good. Woe unto you. Amen. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes, like Eve. It was wise. It seemed wise. To be a tree desired to make unwise, and for eyes to be open, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them, rich and increasing goods have need of nothing, that's how they saw themselves. Woe unto them who are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mix strong drink, who justify the wicked. See, to explain away people's conviction, to make them lose the conviction, they kind of grace it off. And say, but God is a loving God. He's so loving God. Don't mind that at all. Like the woman who was living with 3, 4, 5 husbands driving on the place. And then say, well, the man say, oh, Brother Abraham, I got a revelation. He said, God just loved that woman so much. He just forgave her. She's a special woman. He said, you have a mighty sweet vision, but you have the beaten track. Amen. Amen. See, who justify wicked for a reward? And take away the righteousness from the righteous from him. See somebody doing righteous? You call it a bunch of devils. You say it's dead, all kinds of different things. And you take some old contrary thing and raise them and exalt it. Woe unto you. Amen. Therefore the fire, the void, the stubble and the flame consuming the chaff. So their root shall be as rottenness. And their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. And despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. So look how the Holy Spirit comes. Amen. In this hour. To veil you. And to veil me. His Spirit comes in His Word. That His Word. His mind. The mind that was in Christ. Could be inside of you. That you could be truly veiled. With God's holy veil again. And to be veiled with God's holy veil. Is to be truly scripturally born again. Amen. It's not a true revelation of the word where the love of God have entered into your heart on the inside of the inside. Where you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, which we'll get later on. Because he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. While this world going in an insane mind, blind, wretched, naked people don't know it and going to insanity. There are people being transformed by the new mind, where the mind that was in Christ is in them. They are knowing as they were known. They come back to a perfect realization, back to Eden, where it's veiled with the glory of God again. And here there are people veiled with sin and don't even know it also. Here there are people who can look and don't lust because they're not their brother and their sister here. That's an attribute of God. Amen. They're under the sacred trust. Amen. Of sacred motherhood, sacred womanhood. And bring forth life for redemption. Knowing the must have a token of this plain is all. Amen. But from the time Eve left that, she left those virtues, she was unveiled. But look at Rebecca. She veils herself as she comes to Isaac. Coming out of the world, out of Babylon. But then she comes and veils herself as she comes to him. May God drop that veil around you. May your eyes be veiled. So you can look out there. And from the time Satan want to bring it and say, that look nice. That word inside is a man who look upon a man in lust have committed adultery. And you turn your head away. Sometimes you're going to be the wrong kind of talk and the wrong kind of atmosphere. You stop that talk because let the conversation be in heaven. Amen. See? Until the affections set on things above. Until your very body turn heavenly. Because the life in your body is transforming you. Until you bring even an outward change. In the moment and a twinkle of an eye, this mortal will put on immortality. Only because the soul is changed already and the affection is set on things above. Amen. And then the life you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for you. Then you walk by faith and not by sight. Then you look to the things that are unseen. Because that gene which God put inside of you is the very word that you bypassed in the beginning when you came from thought the flesh. And when you came from thought the flesh, you came with the lust veil. When you came from thought the flesh, you came with the lust veil. But when you are born again, then you comes back to your holy veil. You cross back the chasm and you come back veil again. He that is born of God cannot sin. You come veil again. Amen. See? When the seed is quickened, you are reborn, then the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Because the soul is anchored. And while the holy veil is around you, she is under the effects of that word. But here God comes in this evening time. Notice he takes lambskin and he clothes them. Because they couldn't bring the Holy Spirit back. But he gave them a substitute. That one day they'll get clothed again. They don't have to use their own man-made covering. That veil is going to come back again. And that's what the message is all about. To bring it back, to present you perfect, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. Amen. Undefiled, without fault before him. To bring you back perfect as God in heaven is perfect. Won't you receive it tonight? Could we all stand to our feet? Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. Hallelujah. Almighty God, such a hard cutting message, straight to the point, not pulling any punches. Lord God, that the word might come and shake the world off of us. Oh God, we'll peep through that shell of the world. Like that eagle in the egg. When the season comes, there's a law that goes into motion. And it begins to pick upon that shell. And pips and pips. Somebody tried to help him, they might kill him. But finally he's broken forth from the cage of that shell. And he's free. He could never ever go back and live inside that shell. He's broken into a new world, a new dimension, a new reality. New realization. Even like a baby in a mother's womb. Shut up inside of the air. Unconscious of the outside. But then a season comes and birth pains comes upon the mother. And the life that is formerly inside begins to go through a process. to be born into manifestation on the outside. It could never go back. On the inside of that woman live no more. For it's born anew. Father, show tonight that real seed of God, precious seed of God in these last days, that has that potential in them to be reborn. And when they are born again so completely, they can never ever go back in the world. The old things have passed away and all things become new. Father, I pray tonight, as we stand in this service, here we are many strangers and visitors tonight. No doubt, some are Christians, some maybe not, I don't know, Father. But the word have gone forth. And we see, Lord, that as it was prophesied, the world is blind, wretched and naked and miserable. And naked. Just like it was back in Eden. But only this time is a lost veil. But the Holy Spirit is here with a holy veil. To veil the elect from all the evils of this evil age. That by being partakers of the divine nature, they escape the corruption of this world through lust. As this entrance is being ministered tonight, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. He said, you must be born again. For until a man be born again, he cannot see that kingdom. I pray tonight, Father. You who gives that birth would move upon the hearts of these. These that are standing here with that representation of predestination, with that travail, that cry on the inside. They cannot find that satisfaction in the world and the things of the world because they are an eagle to begin with. Oh, we are speaking about Rebecca. But Lord, hearing the message tonight, the voice of God coming forth, may something flash across their path. May something strike home on the inside. May that reality break forth upon them, Lord. That they would realize that this is the next marching piece to that seed on the inside. Hallelujah. The word written for the hour and the word predestined for the hour coming together to bring a new birth, to bring a new realization, so that they could pass from death unto life. They could come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. God, may you grant it tonight. As you hunted all these who have come already, you still hunt out these that may be laying back. Might just be one or two, Father. For in all these years you've been bringing them. But oh God, just before that door swings shut, them that may even need to be restored. Lord, for we see some here tonight also, who at one time walked in the light of your word. But oh God, their feet have turned away from that path. Their hands have now hung down. Their feet now become lame. But Lord, I pray that those feet will be healed. I will turn again that path. Those feeble hands will be lifted back up in praise again. You're the Almighty God. As you said, you'd come in a dark and cloudy day and you'd seek out your sheep. And you'd gather them together, Lord, and bring them that there might be one fold and one shepherd. There shall be showers of blessing. Hallelujah. May you grant tonight, Father. You will deal with every heart tonight. And we will come back tomorrow to continue the message. Lord God, is your Holy Spirit tracking us to these things in this time, that we might be made ready unto your coming. We might be a child without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, a virtuous woman, part of the bride of Jesus Christ, the elect lady, Oh God, holding our sacred trust sacred. Keep us under the divine inspiration of this sacred trust, Father. Sacred womanhood, sacred motherhood. And to bring forth life for redemption. Knowing the only thing you commit adultery, the only thing you go contrary to your word, is a woman in the church. So, Father, may we be true to that word as it has come unto us in this hour. Maybe in the department to the right and to the left. But Lord God, may be so much like that word that we will be united with that word, become one with that very word. We'll be the express image of that word, who is the invisible God. Father, may you grant tonight, make these things real unto us. How desire it will come so real unto us, Father. Our daily lives, in our homes, in our jobs, in the street, wherever we would be, would be under divine inspiration of these things. When we speak, the words that would come out of our lips would be unto edification. Would be to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. Our conversation would be pleasing unto you. Our conduct among one another would be respect and honor. Would be with dignity, Father. That you'd be proud of it, Lord. To know that these are my beloved sons, these are my beloved daughters, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. When you look at one another, we see the purchase of the blood. Hallelujah! We see daughters of God. You have taken out of the world. They're going to be defiled in the world. They're going to be polluted. They're going to be sex symbols. Deformed by the devil. But because of the love of God, you took them out and washed them in the blood. Brought them to the filter. Teach them your virtuous things. And make them, Lord, noble women, Lord. Ladies! Hallelujah! Let it be sons of God, righteous men, just and devout men like Simeon, led by the Holy Ghost, walking holy, holy unto the Lord. Even as you conducted yourself when you walk upon the face of the earth, even the example you give unto us is our Father. Oh God, and the young men, the young women, Father. I pray for them tonight. In this age when the spirit of lawlessness is rampant, just moving everywhere, Lord, and we see the Holy Spirit drawing back from the world now, and lawlessness and immorality taking over, as it is prophesied would be in the last days. Whether sons of God, so the daughters of men. Heavenly Father, I pray your spirit would fill their hearts tonight. Lord God, they become prisoners to your word. Their meat would be to do the will of him that sent them. To finish this work. To walk in the light of this revealed word. To run with this message, Lord. As you said, young men, remembering the creator in the days of the youth, would run with this message. It would sweep it unto the coming of the Lord. May be ready at all times to give every man a reason to hope that inside of us. May we not stop, oh God, to reason with things of the world and be attracted by the worldly attraction of these things, Lord. May we see the wolf in the sheep clothing, the thoughts and the intents and the motives and the spirit, which is that wolf, Lord, behind the things that is presented when it comes in worldly beauty to deceive. May the word of God be hidden in our hearts, that we will not sin against thee, but we will see through the eyes of the word and recognize the devil at every one of his tricks. Keep us conscious and alert at all times of the enemy presence. May we remain in that impregnable fortress of your word that you have given unto us. As long as we stay there, we know the enemy cannot touch us, Father. Give us a greater measure of your Holy Spirit tonight. That we might stand and be able to face the challenge of this evil age. That you might be pleased with us, Lord. That we might prove ourselves worthy of your promise. That you could stretch forth that scepter and give it unto us. For you would be seen a character a virtuous bride that the power of God can come unto to wind up this great commission in the last days. Oh God, may you grant it. We commit ourselves into your hands now. May you watch over us, kindly lead us and direct us in the paths of service and keep us faithful. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ tonight. Amen and amen. Amen. You may have a seat. Let's sing that song we sing the other night. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." As we dismiss, may the ushers quietly dismiss you. 135 in the marriage of prayer if you have one. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know that said the Lord. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the center." Oh Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved him on all. How sweet tonight. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Just trust in him. Lean upon him tonight. His cleansing blood. Just a simple faith. Oh, to plunge me. Need the healing crimson blood. Oh, let's lift our hands and sing, "Jesus, Jesus." Oh, trust in your own ability. Trust in the Lord. Hold fast his word. Don't lean upon your understanding, but lean on the everlasting arm of God.
Thank you. take him at his word, just good. And just to rest upon his promise, just to rest upon him. Just to know, thus said the Lord. For us, Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus. Trust me, precious Jesus Savior.